Welcome to Man Strong Podcast. This is your host, Clint Locklear, where we're going to talk a little bit about leadership today. We're in a land of very little leadership. We're in a land where people just look around. Seriously, look around. Do you see much leadership in anything? I don't. I see hardly any leadership except for a few people in government. Trump is actually a great example of someone that's a leader. Then you have pretty much everybody else. I'm amazed that they had the IQ to actually fill out the paperwork to run for Congress and Senate, much less they think that they're leaders of the country. They don't have any concept of what that is. Dividing people is not leadership. That is a wussy way to try to stay in power. But leadership is something we hear. I've heard it my whole life. I heard it in the military. I saw it in the military. I saw good leaders. I saw bad leaders. I saw people that had very little rank that when crap got serious, nobody gave a crap what someone else's rank was. They knew who the leader was in the squad. They knew who the leader was in the platoon. And when it was real, the people with the rank also knew who the leader was, and they didn't really care because they weren't leaders, they were managers. Leaders and managers are very different things. Now, before we get in this topic, I want to talk about a update I've got in my home gym. It is really, to me, it's really cool. I've noticed online a lot of places that people have been putting a lot of flags up in their gym, and the more I looked at it, I'm like, that's kind of cool. You know, I've got Don't Tread on Me flags, I've got American flags, I've got the Navy ball flag on my boat, I've got, you know, different things like that. So I ordered an American flag, and I wanted it to be the biggest and most prominent in there, so it was 6-foot by 10-foot American flag. Nylon, shiny, bright. It's really inspiring to me. Now, I'm sure if you're a liberal, you would sit there and scream at it like a dog screaming at something he didn't know what it was. But to me, it's actually very inspiring. One of the songs, probably one of my favorite songs lately I've been listening to when I've been lifting weights, is Red, White, and Blue. Let me see if I can get this dude's name. If I can pull this up. We're in a massive thunderstorm right now. I'll tell you who this, it's a great song. Nope, wrong playlist. Okay, Red, White, and Blue by Travis Denning. Look that up on YouTube. I don't know what the video is going to be of it, but the song is freaking amazing, especially when you're busting your balls like I was today on hypertrophy on the bench, and behind you in your peripheral vision, you got the red, white, and blue. Now, I may be a little more patriotic than some, but listen to that song, being close to that flag, trust me, it gave me a lot of energy. I plan on getting a Trump flag in there. I've got some Army flags coming, 101st Airborne, stuff like that. I'm just making it cool for me. No one else is working in there. I take that back. My wife has started, she's trying out to work out 2 times a week. We're spending about 40 minutes in there. It is a learning experience, training with someone that's just beginning and a female that looks at things very differently, but it's great. I think it's awesome. To me, that's a really cool thing we can do together. It's actually very quality time to do that. Kind of smells in my gym because I make animal scents in there, but I think she's getting used to that a little bit. But it's really cool. Before we get into today's topic, though, I want to thank our sponsor, which is Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. They've got copper trap tags. You can use all kind of stuff. I have them in fishing and places on noodles and cages and stuff like that. I use to catch brim, and so I can go catch the bigger fish. And then they got a full line of trapping supplies. They carry all my lure. If you're looking for a paper catalog of my stuff, they've got all my stuff in there. They also carry all kind of catfish stuff and fishing stuff and hooks and line and baits and deer stuff and deer products, hog, bear. They've got a full line, and they're one of the bigger dealers of some of the predator calls that are out there that are high quality but not as crazy as expensive. So you're just not buying a name when you buy these calls. Really, really good people to deal with. Really quality service. So if you're looking for someone that you can trust and you're an outdoorsman, give them a shot. Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. Leadership. So I pulled some stuff online before the storms came, because I knew, since we have to run off satellite, which sucks where I live, when it's really cloudy or rainy, you might as well hang up the internet here. It just doesn't work. But I thought that I would look at leadership. And what made me think of this, actually, as goofy as this may sound, is I was on TikTok. Like, you know, I schedule TikTok time. Yes, I do. When I'm in the bathroom by myself doing my thing, that's my TikTok time, because I will tell you that it's highly addicting. I guarantee you there's been a lot of money sent by psychiatrists and psychologists on how to keep you on that thing. So I've had to schedule my time. It's bathroom time only. It was when I'm on TikTok. But there's all kind of interesting stuff on there, and this is one of them. There was a black guy with a black kid in a field with horses, and he was talking about leadership. And he kind of made the point that sometimes you lead from the front, and depending on what the situation is, sometimes you need to lead from the back. And that's not the way I was taught. In the military, leaders lead from the front. You know, back when politicians actually went to the battlefield for the battles that they started. They ain't doing that no more. But that's the way I was taught. Leaders lead from the front. And that caught my attention, and I was listening to what he's saying, and I think he's spot on. Because he was saying, if you're always in front, that means the person's looking at you from behind. They really can't see what's in front. And he's using his child as an example. Plus, you've got your ego, you've got your wants, you've got your dreams for them. All of that is in the shadow of you. And right now, if you haven't figured this out, guys, I'm talking to you dads. And for people like me that are around younger guys a lot, I'm talking to me too. So unlike the military, where good leaders go through the door before they ask their men to go through the door, parenting, I believe, and I do think he's right, is a little bit different. If you're in front and they're in your shadow all the time, how do they know where to go? And then he was saying, if you stand behind them, he had his son stand in front of him. He was like, the son can now see the landscape. He can think of his own things. He can follow his own dreams. He can choose his own paths. And from behind, if I see him steering off of a good path, I can gently, and him and his son are walking together as they're doing this, I can guide him back towards the middle. So he put his hand on his left shoulder and just moved him a little bit. If he starts going too far that way, I can move him back over. If he's going to do something really dangerous, I can stop him by putting both hands on his shoulders. But he's letting his son actually make decisions, which most parents don't do today. This goes for daughters too. And you have to be in a leadership position, which we're going to talk about in a minute, where you can guide them and they will listen to you. Because it's not as simple as, I'm the parent, you're going to do what I say, or I'm going to whoop your ass. You know, trust me, we all heard it when we were growing up at my age. But did you ever really listen to your parents when they told you that? No. And guess what? Your kids may listen to you at the moment because you're standing there and they're afraid that you may actually pull out a belt. But as soon as you're gone, it's going to disappear. So think about that in terms of leadership. That's not very good. But what is leadership? So I went online and I just looked at several websites, and of course leadership is blown up by all these companies that want to teach people how to be leaders through a course, which is actually quite funny. It's like teaching leadership in college. There's a lot of people that take it, but I guarantee you very few of them are leaders when they come out of there. But what is leadership? That's the first question on one of these things that I found. And the website is Mind Tools, which you already know it's kind of cheesy anyway. But leaders are people who do the right thing, and managers who do things right. Leaders are the people that do the right thing. Now, why is that important? Like that man on TikTok was explaining how he can guide his son. That only works if you do the right things. In other words, if you have character, if you're honest, if you're not abusive, if you're not overbearing as a dad, they know that you've got their back, not because you tell them that they do. They know that from your actions. You're doing the right thing. That's one of the basis of being a leader. They will follow you or take your guidance simply because they trust you that you're going to do the right thing and you're not going to lead them down a path that's not the right thing, at least not on purpose. Now, managers are people who do things right. I think if you look at a lot of parents, there's a lot of parents that try to do things right, but they're not very good leaders with their kids. And if you don't believe me, just go look online anywhere where you see liberals at college with their kids. You see Antifa. You probably had a lot of parents there that tried to do the right thing like managers, like a bureaucrat. But they weren't leaders. They weren't somebody the kids would trust. They weren't something that they would listen to. That's why they're so rebellious against anything that's older now. And there's no way that type parent is going to be able to guide their child, because the child doesn't believe in the parent. And you see this manifested, and they don't believe in any form of government. They believe in social justice. They believe in all this stuff that at someone at my age, I look at it and go, what a freaking moron. But they truly believe in it. And I think a lot of it boils down to they didn't believe in their parents. So why would they believe in other adults that are trying to tell them what to do? Let that sink in just a little bit. Now, this is a quote from Dwight D. Eisenhower. Leadership is the art of getting someone else to do something you want done because he wants to do it. See, this goes back to character. In the military, we had people with rank that were managers. We all knew who they were. They were only concerned about not getting a bad mark on their thing. They didn't give a crap about the troops. They didn't care if it was going to, you know, mess up somebody else's career. They're only worried about themselves. And they could pull a card in the military that you can't pull in civilian life, and that's an order. When you get ordered to do something in the military, there's huge, massive, devastating repercussions if you don't follow an order. It's not like at home when your kids don't clean their room. You're not sending them to Leavenworth to a scary, dark, dank, old prison if they don't follow orders. And everybody in the military knows what happens if you don't follow orders. Unless it is a immoral order that you'll have to fight for when you get called on it. So you if you're going to pull that card, you better know what you're talking about. But Mr. Eisenhower said leadership is already getting someone else to do something you want done because he wants to do it. I think if I had a son, I might be having that little quote up on the mirror that I see every day. If he is not doing good in school, see, this is where leadership gets very scary for modern day Americans. The leader is ultimately responsible. See, parents don't really look at it this way because it's just not the way the culture is anymore. It's why there's so few leaders. In the military, it's very different because it doesn't matter if the leader, say a second butterbar lieutenant that don't know his butt from a hole in the ground, just came out of West Point or something like that, and he's all full of himself because he's got a college degree until he realizes most of the guys in his squad have more colleges combined than he does. He gives an order, everything goes sideways, the squad or platoon does the opposite of what he said to do, it's a complete failure, it was not his plan, it doesn't matter because he's the leader that didn't get it done, he's responsible, he's the one that's going to get a black eye. See, kids don't want to do good in school, it's not the teacher's fault, it's the parents' fault. You can't expect pretty much a liberal Democrat union member school teacher to actually care about being a leader in school. If you are, you're very naive. That's parents' responsibility. If you're a business owner, that's your responsibility. Now, unlike a business, I can fire somebody and find somebody else that's got a little more character in their, you know, for them to be able to understand what's going on. The parent, it's kind of hard just to fire your kids. But you want them to do it because they want to do it. Now, how does that happen? Well, we're going to go over some things that the intellectuals say it matters, but it's going to boil down to your trust from that child, your example to that child, and if you have a strong relationship with that child, they're going to want to listen to what you're saying because they want your approval. If they don't care about your approval, parents, there's a reason for that. See, I had leaders in the military that were leaders. I would follow them through the gates of hell just because they said, I think it's a good idea. I'm in. Which direction? And I had quote leaders in the military that would come up with something like that, and I would fight it tooth and nail and drag my feet because I didn't believe in them. Leadership is not just the tactics of leadership, and that's where I think a lot of schools and courses and stuff like that get it going. You can talk to my group of friends when it comes to stuff like my business, and we may joke around about things every now and then, but they know I am not going to do something to screw over the people that use my products. Not going to happen. I'm not going to lie about the products. I'm not going to overinflate the products. I'm not going to do any of that. They know that. And I've got friends that are in business, and I know the same thing about them. They go the extra mile to make sure the customer gets everything they ordered when it comes to their products. And I've been around a lot of people in business that is just trying to get the sale. So from a business point of view, if you want to have people, if you want to be a leader in your business, because you own it don't mean you're leading crap. You may manage it, but you ain't leading it. Those employees have to know what you're about and believe it, just like being a parent. Now, when I look at some of this stuff on leadership, like I'll give you an example. Travis is worked for me since he's been 15. I think he's 22 now. He has a tendency where he can screw some stuff up, and it can cost serious money. Well, there's a couple of ways to handle this, and one way works, and one way gets you a quick apology, and it's forgotten about really quick, and there's no long-term residual. So let me ask you a question. Which one do you think is being a little bit leader to understand what's going on in the mind of a 20-year-old, example, when they're doing something monotonous like putting animal scents in bottles? Something gets in the wrong bottle with the wrong label, or something like that, or they don't fill the bottles up right, or they put too much in it or whatever. What I learned with Travis was pretty interesting. As an employee, money's very different if it's not his. So the way that I learned to deal with, and there was problems with Travis, is one, not get mad, not raise my voice, not scream and throw a fit, not threaten to fire him if they do it again. But I would sit him down and I'd go, Travis, with whatever happened, this is what this means to the business. And it's hard for the business to be able to stay in business, so you have a job if this continues. And here's the reason why. We have to redo X number amount of things, which is going to cost this much more in product, which means there's zero profit and probably a loss on the next 1,000 bottles we sell. I've got to pay you again. I've got to pay your taxes to the government again. So really what this, you know, not really thinking this part through, which I need you to think through, is by not doing this, and I'll put it down in paper with actual numbers and go, you know, this mistake, I know you didn't do it on purpose, but this mistake actually just cost me $4,300. And when I started doing it like that, you could see the light bulb go off in his head. Because most people don't really think of the mistakes that they do without really thinking, unless they understand what's going on inside the business. Now, how many business owners are going to do that with a client? No, they're going to scream and holler and whatever. So the next time that I have to, you know, talk to Travis about, you know, we need to do this, because if you overfill the bottles, one, they might expand and blow up, which is going to be an unhappy customer. We're going to lose the product. Or, you know, that extra ounce doesn't seem like a lot, but when you have so many ounces and so many bottles, this is how much we're losing. It's just not healthy for the business to do that. It was a drastic difference in the way he looked at it. That's just a form of leadership. It's telling a story, per se. It's explaining the consequences in a non-threatening way. It's just one of the ways that you have to be a leader. Same thing can be happened between husbands and wives, parents and children. It's how you react to the situation is going to have a lot to do with if the person's going to care that something needs to change or not. So just think about some of these things as we go along. Now, this is what this group says about leadership. Leaderships help themselves and others do the right thing. I totally agree with that. So like if I'm going to use my business as an example. Say I've got a product that's so-so, but it's not really testing out as well. But there's a lot of profit to be made in it. And an employee goes, well, we ought to put that on the market. Look at all that money you can make. Well, see, then you can back that up and go, yeah, but if you give someone a bad product, that's not how capitalism works, because they're not going to want your product again. So you may make a short-term benefit off of being that way, but you're not going to be in this in the long haul. So do you think that's still a good idea? You know, you could be more, you know, I'm trying to keep it short, but you kind of get the message. They help others do the right thing. They set the direction, which is basically, if you have no character, you're not allowed to set direction because you can't set direction. If you don't have beliefs, how are you going to set directions without beliefs? If you don't have fundamental principles that you live by, like don't screw over a customer, don't try to get a quick sale, how in the world do you expect you to be able to set a direction? Build an inspiring vision. Oh, the word inspiring and vision. How that has not been beat to death by colleges and all these little college graduates. And create something new. Now, being a leader doesn't mean you're creating something new. I hate to bust these guys' bubble, but that is not what leadership is, not to come up with a new thing. I can pretty much tell you whoever wrote this is probably a millennial or younger, and they think that if it's not new, it's not good. Having a well-oiled machine as a family or a business does not necessarily mean it's got to be new and exciting all the time. It's procedures that allow things to function right, and those aren't that sexy. I don't understand the create something new. That is completely has nothing to do with it, unless you're trying to sell a leadership program, which they are. Leadership is about mapping out where you need to go when as a team or as an organization. I do believe in that. See, if you're talking to someone, whether it be a kid or an adult, and you're trying to get them to do something because you're a parent or you're a business owner or just a friend, and they're seeing something very short-sighted about it, you should be able to easily put that into perspective. Why it's a win for them, it's a win for you, it's a win for the future, by putting that in some type of perspective. And then it goes on to more corporate googly-goggly speak about it is should be dynamic, exciting, and inspiring. Well, see, here's the thing about this that is not leadership. Dynamic, exciting, and inspiring. Inspiring is going to be someone with character that you believe in. Inspiring, the way this is talked about, is like, you know, giving the big speech that gets everybody fired up, like your Braveheart before the battle. Exciting, everything's got to be exciting. That's not true. And dynamic, it's got to be dynamic, which probably means it's going to be complicated, and things that are complicated usually fail. So those are not part, as far as I'm concerned, of being a leader. Dynamic, exciting, inspiring. And I'll tell you why. The average time a person, if you talk to someone in a gym owner, right after the first year, they get 90% of their income in the month of January. The sales for the whole year come in January. I've talked to several gym owners just because I'm fascinated with business. When I started lifting weights a year and a half ago, actually going to a gym, it was in December, and I would go to the gym, and it would be like, this is a small country gym, 6 people. Sometimes maybe, you know, like at 5:30 when certain people got off work or whatever, 10. That was it. January came, And holy crap, this little country gym went from 10 people at a time being in there to 50. And you got people going around trying to figure everything out, which is totally fine. Hogging machines they don't know how to use, which is totally fine. But it got very chaotic for the month of January. And do you know by March, when you go back in there, there's 6 to 10 people in the gym? How is that possible? Because if you've never, you know, unless you're doing something like, you know, one of these 24-hour fitness where they charge you pretty much, you know, $10 a month and you get to eat $20 worth of pizza at the door when you come in, it's most gyms are not set up that way. So an average gym, depending on where you are, is probably between $35 and $65 to $100 a month. But you pay for, you sign up and are obligated to pay for the year. And to get out, you got to pay like 6 months to the end. So when you sign up in January, you're on the hook for a year. Now, I guarantee you that all those people doing their New Year's resolutions were going to go lift weights dynamically. They were excited about it and they were inspired. Dynamic, exciting, and inspiring is fleeting. See, what you need in a gym is consistency, or you don't really get any value out of it. Going for the month of January and busting your butt and trying to figure out how to get in shape all of a sudden because you ate like a fiend all holiday, you gain 20 pounds, you try to lose 20 pounds, you don't really have any reason for being in there, so you can watch your YouTube videos and listen to your speeches and your inspiring messages from Goggins and Jocko and all these guys and CT Fletcher, but they're fleeting. It's almost like a hit of sugar. It spikes you up and then it's just, you crash. Well, I don't think when you're thinking of leadership, dynamic, exciting, or inspiring should really be part of it. When I keep going, some of the other things they talk about is they're talking about their model that they're selling, highlights visionary thinking and bringing improvement current to performance. Visionary thinking and improving current performance. Now see, in current performance, that makes sense. To me, visionary thinking is like inspiration. It's a shot of sugar that's over with pretty quick, and there's no lasting power to it. See, since I've been lifting weights, seriously, for about a year and a half, I don't think that I'm gonna work out today. It's just what I do. I don't have to be inspired to walk into my home gym and bust my butt. Because half the times I can tell you I'm not inspired to go into, as my brother calls it, the little Clint's little house of horrors. Usually when the blood gets going, adrenaline gets up a little bit, I always enjoy it for the most part, except for maybe a few times. But I'm not always inspired to go to that gym. But as I get older, I don't want to be weak, I don't want to be frail, and I've got this goofy ass experiment in my mind. How big and strong can a person get if they start at basically 50 years old, and how long can it last? That's kind of inspiring to me, to see what that is. But it doesn't help me always want to go into the gym. See, but the goal of not wanting to be frail and weak as I get older and floppy and suck at sex and all the other stuff that happens when you start getting older and you just decide you don't want to do anything and, you know, anything that's uncomfortable, you shouldn't have to do anymore, that type of thinking. That's what keeps me consistently going to that gym. It's not from hoorah-rah speeches. Leadership, a definition, creates inspiring vision of the future. That's part of leadership, with children, with businesses, and everything else. The inspiring part, I don't know about, but the vision, absolutely. My vision is I want to be big and strong at 55 and 60. That's my vision when I go to the gym. Motivates and inspires people to engage in that vision. That is where leadership, that's where the rubber hits the road. Where you show people through words, actions, and your character that the vision that you hold for your business or your children or your wife or whatever it is, your future, retirement, whatever it is worth the grind to get there. See, what I just said, you'll never see on some of these papers that come from all of these, quote, professional leadership schools. It's worth the grind. You want to be a doctor? It's going to be a grind. You want to stay in shape or get in shape? Trust me, it's going to be a grind. Motivational speeches are not going to cut it. You want to lose weight? It's not easy. Because if you're like me with having 30 years of being a fat ass, where I had no discipline in my food and I ate everything that I wanted to by the bushel, it's harder to control when these situations rise now where I want to eat two pizzas. It's a grind. But from a leadership point of view, you have to explain and instill into whoever you're leading that the grind is worth it. How do you do this? You have to have a delivery and manage the vision. That's the hard part, because people are lazy. And then they talk about some different stuff, but on that. Once they've developed their visions, leaders must make them compelling and convincing. So someone can see, feel, and understand and embrace this vision. Effectively, leaders provide a rich picture of the future, what it will look like, where their vision has been realized. And it talks about telling inspiring stories. There again, that's like a hit of sugar, it goes away. But if you want to be a good leader, you're going to have to be able to sit back and think things through before you react. There's very few leaders that are really hotheads, because no one wants to be around a hothead and no one's going to listen to a hothead. So if you're a dad blowing up all the time, you're probably not a very good leader. It's something that you have to, I mean, that is a learned skill. You do it because I'm your parent or I'm gonna whoop your ass is not a very good skill set for a leader. But if you think that your kid's starting to play around with drugs, or they're with a bunch of bad friends that want to break into houses and go get drunk on the weekend, it's your job as a leader, as a man, to be able to put that in perspective to the kid so they see the reaction. Like if your son starts dating a girl and you think that they're getting really close, you need to have a way to explain to them that 3 minutes of fun that you're about to have with that girl in the back seat of the truck could cost you 18 years of alimony payments. Get online with them. Look up the average alimony payments. Look up how many men have to pay that. Add up what that is over the 18 years. Don't do it in a smart aleck way. Just go, I just want you to understand what you're getting into. If you're going to have sex with her, this is the risk you're taking. See, that's a much better way to handle that than to just, you know, scream and holler and throw a fit and tell them they're not going to see the girl. Because think back when you were a kid, if your parents did that to you, you would automatically think that girl's got something better than anybody else in the girl, because your parents don't want you to experience it, and you're going to get in it as fast as you can. 18 years of alimony. If you're going to have college degrees as a kid, you're going to probably have student loans unless you come from a wealthy family. You add those up with the alimony. Let them see how destitute their butt's going to be because of 3 minutes of fun in the back seat of a truck or the back of a truck. See, that's an inspiring story that if you do it right, they're going to think very long and hard. As much as their hormones are raging and they want to give it a shot, they are going to be thinking about that. And hopefully, you've raised a kid with enough common sense that at least put on a condom and not take the chance, because it's a big chance. That's just an example. So when you're thinking about being a leader, put about it in these terms. You've got to have character yourself, and you've got to build a relationship with whoever these people are, family, friends, employees, that they know without even thinking about it that you're not going to lead them down the wrong path on purpose, that you have their best interests in heart, that you're just not trying to say no at every turn. If they, like a business owner, if someone has a business concept they want the business to do, let them pitch it. Don't be sarcastic about it, because there's probably a lot of things that employees don't understand about business that if you walk them through all of the realities of, most of the time they'll go, yeah, that's probably not a very good idea. But it just sounded really cool at the time. Man, I get it. I've looked at stuff that way. No big deal. But leadership is something all men should strive for. It really is. That's something all dads should strive for, even though today in this country, dads are considered to be the complete baboons and just idiots of the world. It's something you should strive for. Because if you are a true leader of your business or your family, things will go much smoother. Things can go in a direction that's more productive, and it could be a lot less heartache at the end of it. So just think about this a little bit this week. Now, the other thing that I've noticed on some of the stuff that I've seen on TikTok is, like I said before, I'm amazed at how conservative TikTok is and pro-Trump. And there's a lot of videos over just liberals going berserk. Like, they see an American flag and they stop and they drop what's in their hands and they put their hands on their knees and they just scream and scream and scream. Like, this flag is a viper that's about to bite them. If I was making a guess, I'm willing to bet kids like that, and most kids today, have no concept of what struggle is. No concept whatsoever. That's the reason I think sports are so important, because you're going to struggle. You're going to have to practice. You're going to have to sweat. You're going to get bruised and you're going to get bumped. You're going to lose and you're going to win. I think the harder sports are actually better. Wrestling, getting your kids in jiu-jitsu. Yes, weightlifting. If you can get your kid interested in powerlifting or CrossFit or Spartan racing, something that you're really going to have to dig deep to get any better at and to get any recognition, just the struggle of that alone would not allow the people that are screaming at flags like it's a viper about to bite them. It wouldn't happen that way. That's like they're so triggered because they see an American flag and they've never had any real oppression, any real grind of any kind, that they're just like an infant that throws a fit when something startles them. But you would think as adults they would outgrow that, but they don't. And I think it's just as important for grown men to find ways to struggle several times a week. One, if you go into a weight room and you actually bust your butt and you leave sweat on the floor and you're trying not to suck out your lungs because you're breathing so hard, you're going to be a lot calmer dad and husband. You're not going to have the energy to get wrapped up in a bunch of nonsense. You're going to sleep better. Your hormones are going to be straightened out a lot better. Hopefully, if you're doing that, you're eating better. You're probably going to be just a better person, because I think it's pretty clear when you look at the psychology of human beings, without struggle comes absolutely chaos. And that's what we're seeing in America right now, is because of no struggle with these generations that are coming up, we've got the chaos we have today because of that. They need to sweat and grunt and grind. And if that was the case, a lot of this stuff today would go away. That's the reason you don't see a lot of country folks that work on farms getting all up into the political stuff. They ain't got the energy, and they're calmed down enough because they actually struggle that they see it for what it is, and they're not going to get up that upset. But you take more of a urban kid that the biggest struggle he has is if he wins Fortnite. And then anything, and that's like his only physical activity is his thumbs. And then something comes along where he has to struggle. He has no concept how to deal with it. Which is part of the reason I think it's really funny that the liberals keep talking about revolution. Of all groups to put themselves in a situation of real struggle that would be, you think they're having mental breakdowns now? They would fall apart so fast you wouldn't even be able to understand what was going on. Because right now it's all fiction. But when you're under a heavy squat or deadlift, there's nothing fictional about that. It's real. Gravity is real. So if you've got a kid, I would try to find a way to be a leader and get them into, like I said, weightlifting, powerlifting, jiu-jitsu, martial arts, something that they're going to have to struggle. But you know, the only way they're going to believe that really matters is if the leader that's telling them that is also doing it. Or it's just going to be talk. All right, guys. I'll talk to y'all next week.